Welcome, everyone, to Freedom Law School's weekly conference call on this April 28th, 2016. This is Payman Mutahedeh, the founder and president of Freedom Law School, and your host for this weekly program. You found yourself, folks, a source for freedom education, freedom answers, and freedom solutions that work for you and America. I founded Freedom Law School in 1996 to educate and empower Americans on how to live free of oppressive taxation and control by knowledge, by knowing the U.S. Constitution, the law, your rights, and how to properly assert your rights by knowing the proper procedures and steps you want and need to take to live free now. And folks, our students have been very successful at living free far more than the previous life of being ignorant, not knowing about the law and your rights. The IRS coming and stealing from you. The government coming and harassing you. Folks, you can live free if you know about the law and your rights far more than otherwise. You don't have to be afraid of the IRS, of the police, of the government, if you know what your rights are as an adult, and that's what Freedom Law School will help you know. Folks, I came here from Iran in 1977, in a land of the free and home of the brave, so I was told to live free. And I found America, the land of the meek and the home of the indentured, that Americans are not free, that the big banks and corporations own this government, that the money in this country is made by the big banks that lend it out to the people to buy homes, cars, lend out to businesses to invest and, you know, build plants and grow. And even the governments borrow the money from the banks. Isn't that crazy? The governments in America even borrow their money from the banks. The governments that do not issue the money, the banks do. And the federal income tax system is another scam that's going on in America. And it's all because the elite banksters want to run the America and the world. They rule the money. They want to enslave us. They want us to have their week working for them, essentially. So, folks, America needs to get back to its roots of constitutional government and freedom. And that's what Freedom Law School is trying to do by educating and empowering Americans to live free as individuals and also as Americans working together. On these weekly conference calls, I'll be answering any and all of your freedom questions. If you go to our website at livefreenow.org, you will get 1 year of free education absolutely sent to you free of charge by email and U.S. mail by simply going to livefreenow.org, livefreenow.org. And you are encouraged to let your friends, family members, coworkers know about us and let them get their free freedom education package from Freedom Law School. Absolutely no charge to you, folks. You ought to get on there and get that education and, folks, start your way to living free now. Again, livefreenow.org is a website you want to go to. Freedomlawschool.org is another website of us. A lot more information there. If you're interested to read a lot more, you can go to either website. So I started teaching courses, folks, to help you live free. That was my first initial goal and still is to educate you since 1996 when I started Freedom Law School. In 2001, I also started providing assistance, help, coaching to those who are under attack by the government, in particular, it really SEALs service called the IRS, which is a fraud and a scam. And folks, one of our students, Joe Bannister, came on exposed income tax fraud, folks. That's right. He was a former gun-carrying IRS special agent who defected in 1999 from the side of the corrupt bureaucrats and government officials to the side of we the people and the U.S. Constitution, which he never forgot about. We'll be talking more about that tonight, folks. Yes, and upcoming weeks is exciting news coming up, folks. But I sent an email out to everybody on our Facebook also. If you're not a fan of Freedom Law School, on our web Facebook page, you want to do that, folks, you will get some great information sent out to you, updates what's going on if you become a fan of Freedom Law School on our Facebook, as well as get our emails. Okay, so the subject was the fact that, folks, so many IRS agents, folks, who done misdeeds, okay, they do wrong things, and guess what the IRS does instead? The IRS, instead of getting rid of these guys and keeping them off, never having them come back, guess what? They hire them back. How do you like that? Why? Well, because the government officials start forming this cliquish, you know, and they, you know, they hire relatives, they hire their friends. So even when the IRS agents are caught to have willfully violated the law, it doesn't matter, you know. They more than half the time, they get rehired anyway. And where is this? Folks, this is from Forbes magazine that says 61% of IRS employees caught willfully violating tax law aren't fired. They may get promoted. This was May 27, 2015, almost a year ago, but it's an issue that did not get the attention it deserved when it came out. And I'm going to bring that to your attention, folks. It was written by Robert W. Wood. So if you go on your computer, type in 61% IRS willfully violating tax law, this will come up. 61% IRS employees willfully violating tax law, this article will come up for you, my friends. So check it out, because we're going to talk about this issue, and there's a bigger issue, folks. This kind of corruption gets worse all the way up to the White House. Yes. Up to the White House and a presidential candidate right now we have going on. Yes. All the way to that candidate's is involved with this thing. So we'll talk about that later on, folks, about this, how dastardly the U.S. government has become, how corrupt and criminal it has become. It'll shock you. But what I do, folks, is not only the courses are able to help you, our first course is called A Practical Road to Freedom from Oppressive Taxation and Control. Not only that is what you want to get, but for folks, there's so much more that Freedom Law School offers. But here tonight, it's my opportunity to get to know you, talk with you, share with you about freedom, and you get to know a little more about Freedom Law School and get your freedom questions get answered for you. And I'm going to do my best to answer your questions tonight on this conference call. If not, I'll refer you to one of our courses, Freedom Packages, one-on-one private consultation, or somebody else that may be better able to help you. I will direct you to the direction you want and need to go to live free and find the answers you are looking for. So let's first tonight, these Thursday nights, get to your questions. I will get your questions answered one at a time. We have a call right now from area code 941. If you have a question, call from area code 941. Please give me your first name only and then ask your question, my friend.
Okay, I don't have a question. I'm just listening, Pamela.
All right. Very good, my friend. Then let's go to another caller we have from area code 814. If you have a question, call from area code 814. Please give me your first name and then your question.
Yes, my first name is Barry. Can you hear me?
Barry with a B as in boy?
Yes. I guess my question is, I just learned about your organization today. I guess I just received a letter from the IRS this past week. It was C. It was a notice of a levy. Okay, I own my own business. I had, I got a couple years of taxes that I just finally filed recently. So my tax lien is around $25,000. So I went through my attorney. We submitted all the tax returns. We then applied or asked them to do an offer and compromise. We put that paperwork together. They rejected that offer, and now they've sent me the liens, the notice of levy, I guess. I guess my first question is, once I filed all this stuff, they rejected, the offer and compromise, do I still have grounds to kind of pursue some type of a strategy, or am I kind of up against it now?
You may have actually other options left that your incompetent attorney that got you in his trouble in the first place didn't do for you right, my friend. So let me ask you some more questions to clarify what you got going on and see based upon that how may I be able to help you, okay? From what you gathered, you said that you had not filed 1040 income tax confession forms for a couple years, and then your attorney talked you into doing them, and then how much did you owe before the IRS had come after you? And then how much did you owe afterwards, after you filed the tax returns?
Yeah, I don't know what the breakdown is versus what you're talking about versus the penalty. I guess all I can state is, you know, over the course, like I said, there's five different tax returns that we filed about 2 years ago. And again, it was a long process. We did all their paperwork, and then we did the offer and compromise. I'm not sure where to go with this. I mean, they just recently sent me the CP 504. Forms or levies, and I just trying to see if I have grounds to kind of pursue some type of a settlement or to not pay it at all.
Okay, well, I'd like to tell you what I do, my friend, is Barry. What I do is I one of the things about Freedom Law Schools is always educational learning. So although I want to help you and I will help you and I think I have some answers for you, my friend, you will like, but I want other people to learn from your situation as well as helping you, my friend. Okay, so help me get a better idea for other people what you did so they can learn from your mistakes, my friend. Okay, can we do that with me, Barry? Okay.
Yep.
So again, what I want to know is approximately what years was this that the tax, what tax year was this for?
Okay. The years was 2001.
Okay.
2003. 2004.
Okay.
2008. I think the other one was 2013.
Okay. Interesting, because a bunch of years was left out. It was not continuous from 2001
exactly.
to.
Exactly. They were spaced out.
How come?
Being a small business owner, I guess I paid into the system. I just never actually did the paperwork confirming the amount that I paid in.
I didn't understand that question. The other years that you didn't file, had you filed before or you never filed for it at all?
Yeah, the other years that I did not mention, I did file those years.
You did file?
Yes.
Okay. So you had filed for all the other years from 2000, but 2001 and the other years you mentioned were those that you had not filed, correct?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. So what got you to go to an attorney to file for these all these years going back to 2001, long time ago, to file for those old years in the first place? Why did you do that all?
And my recollection is the IRS had sent me something stating that I had not filed, and they were seeking payment for those years. I think they just generally assessed me based on prior years that I didn't file and saying this was the amount that I owed.
Okay. So the IRS just sent me some collection letters. I'm sure if it was for years going back to 2001, this was not the first time that after all these years they claim you owe the money for 2001. I'm sure they've sent to you before. But what was so different about this time that it got you scared to go talk to this attorney?
Yeah, I think they tried to send me different letters. I moved around quite a bit, so I think I've not received certain letters from them.
Okay.
Why did I pursue going to see my lawyer, this attorney at this time? Yeah, they just sent me some notices, I think another lien or a levy notice, and that's when I went and spoke to my attorney about it.
Okay. Now, they sent you lien and levy notice. Is that what got your attention? You went to attorney?
Yes.
Okay. And do you remember approximately how much was the lien and levy notices they sent you?
Originally, I don't have that information in front of me.
$10,000, $100,000, $1 million, roughly. How much was this about?
No, I mean, if you add up all the ones that I just received, which is the total, it's just under $25,000.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying. No, IRS had claimed you owe them less than $25,000 for all those years, or is $25,000 after you filed those tax returns that the IRS sent you? Which one is it?
The lesser amount before.
So before you filed the 1040 forms, you owed the IRS less?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, how much did you owe the IRS before you filed the 1040 forms, and how much you owe the IRS after you filed the 1040 forms?
Yeah, I don't have that information in front of me.
Okay. How much IRS claims you owe them right now?
$25,000.
Okay, that much you know. That IRS claims you owe them $25,000, and you know that before you filed the 1040s, it was less. Correct, Barry?
Yes.
Okay, all right, we got that straightened out. Well, and how much do you pay your attorney for doing these tax returns and offering compromise for you?
Over the course of probably the 2 years, I've paid him over $2,000.
Okay, over $2,000. Is he a tax attorney or regular attorney?
He is a tax attorney.
Okay, all right. Now, when you hired him, he told you you're qualified for offering compromise. I'm sure, but you didn't qualify, correct?
I don't think he stated that. He said that was going to be our game plan. First of all, we had to file the returns because they weren't filed. And then after we filed the returns, our process was going to be the offer and compromise.
So, but did he tell you that he ended up having you owe more money to the IRS? That after having you file 1040s and owing more money? Then he's going to go down to lower it, but that may, or in this case, may not work. Did he tell you about those factors ahead of time?
No.
No. So he got you in a mess, in a pickle. You know, by not didn't tell you any idea that you may be in a pickle. You would have been better off owing the IRS a lesser amount that you owed before than now that you hired your attorney, the tax attorney, the professional. Had you filed these 1040 income tax confession forms, you on your own confessing and admitting that you owe the IRS more money. Do you recognize that at this point, my friend, before I give you some solutions for you?
I definitely understand that, yes.
Okay. All right. You said you were a small business owner. What do you do?
Yeah, I work with golf courses.
Okay. You pretty much work on your own. Do you have any employees or pretty much you and maybe a couple of people? How small is your business?
No, it's just myself as a sole proprietor, no employees.
Okay, all right. And when did you file the tax returns, Barry?
So now it's 2016. We probably did it. It was either the fall of 2014 or early part of 2015.
Okay, you don't.
There's
can you give me the
been
most? Go ahead.
Yeah, I would say we filed them. I mean, this process has been going on forever, it seems like, and that's what early 2015.
Early 2015. That's okay.
15, yep.
So it's been over a year. A year and maybe two, 3 months, perhaps. Okay. All right. Now,
I'm just looking at this notice I got from the IRS. It says here, this refers to your offer and the amount dated July 14, 2014, to compromise your liability for the tax period ending. So that, I guess the offer and compromise was actually in July 14, 2014.
I understand that. Yeah, yeah. Wait a minute, you made your offer and compromise in 2014, you said?
That's what this letter says. Dear Mr. Goodhart, this refers to your offer and the amount of XYZ dated July 14, 2014.
So you must have filed your tax returns sometimes before 2014. If you made your offer in 2014, you must have filed a tax return before 2014 to owe the IRS these monies, and you made an offer in 2014 to lower them that the IRS now, after all this time, has told no to you, correct?
That is correct, yeah.
Okay. So it's been, and the, when in 2014 the IRS claims you made your offer?
It has your July 14th.
Okay. You made your offer, compromise offer July 14th, 2014, which is almost 2 years ago.
Correct.
Okay. Now, I need to get an idea from you. Did you file your offer and compromise at the same time as you filed your tax return? Was it 1, 3, 6 months afterwards, a year after? Approximately, I want a best guess from you. Because remember, I don't have all your paperwork in front of me right now, Barry.
Yep.
So look at those and give me complete, accurate, intelligent, correct answer.
Yeah, I'd say it was close to six months after we processed all the returns, got them in, that then we did the offer and compromise.
Okay, so approximately January of 2014, you had actually followed the 1040 forms, and then offer and compromise was done in July. Okay, all right. Now, what did your lawyer tell you at this point your option is? What did he tell you?
I asked him if we could do another counter offer and offer and compromise. He said you only get one opportunity to do that, and he just suggested I do a, get on a payment system. Basically, contact the IRS and set up a payment system, pay this off over the course of, you know, whatever, 5, 6 years.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, he's wrong. He's incompetent. And I tell you why he's wrong and incompetent, because that's typical. Because, yeah, before I tell you what the answer for your situation is, taxes is a specialty area of law, just like medicine and doctors. You know, there's a doctor of does work on heart, another one that works on, cancer, another one works on, on colds, another one works on bones. Another one's a urologist, a female doctor. You know, there's all kinds of specialties within medicine. And so they specialize in those. So you want to go to a woman's doctor for your brain, even if you're a woman, because they say, look, I don't specialize in that. You know, you want to go to a specialist because they focus in that area of health that concerns your situation. The law is the same way, in that it's such a large area of law, knowledge of law, that the lawyers focus in certain areas. Some do only patents. Some only do civil litigation, like real estate litigation. Some do criminal law only. Some do immigration, taxes, and so forth and so on. This guy that you hired only did, taxes. But what you need is another specialist. What you need is a bankruptcy expert. Because you can bankrupt...
A bankruptcy expert.
Yes. Because you can bankrupt these tax. From what you told me, it sounds like I haven't seen any of your paperwork, Barry. So I could be wrong. Okay. But based upon what I hear from you, looks like that, you know, yeah, that you qualify for bankrupting all of these taxes. But I could
not
tell you.
You're not bankrupting the business. You're just bankrupting the tax component?
Yes. It now, let me ask you.
I didn't think that was legal to do something like that.
Well, it depends on your business. Does your business have any significant amount of assets?
Well, see, this is what took us so long from the offer and compromise until today of now getting the levies is we had to keep submitting expenses, the bank account. I mean, we went through, you know, inflow of cash, you know. There was just so many different ways that they were looking at how I was running the expenses versus what was income, and that's what took so long. So they basically said I have plenty of money to make payments.
Okay.
When you say a bankruptcy attorney, I'm not sure how that, how I could claim bankruptcy on tax, I don't know, payments.
You can bankrupt taxes. Okay. The key requirements are that the taxes has been assessed over 240 days, which, based on what you say, you meet that requirement. You also have to file the tax returns at least 2 years before the date of bankruptcy, which you have. You meet that requirement. Also, the tax returns must have been due at least 3 years before the date of bankruptcy, which was the last year you filed for, 2013 or 2011. What year was the last year?
I filed last year.
You filed for 2015? 2014? What year?
2014.
But you filed tweet. No, see, Barry, you know, I really need to see your paperwork, my friend, because you keep telling me inconsistent, incorrect information that later on you correct yourself.
Yeah, I didn't think this was going to be this in-depth. Listen, you know, calling in tonight, I just didn't have this information.
No, that's okay. That's okay. I'm not blaming you. That's okay, my friend. No, I'm just telling you why I cannot help you as much as I like to accurately. I want to see. I don't like giving people information unless I know what I'm not talking about. If I don't know, I tell you. I don't want to mislead you. You know, a lot of people just say what they say. They want to blow you over with their knowledge and whatever. But I take pride in that I'm not going to mislead anybody. If I'm going to tell you something, you can take that money to the bank. That's how correct it is. Otherwise, I tell you, I don't know. I really need to see your paperwork. It sounds like I really need to see your paperwork. You know, we need to do a private one-on-one consultation so I can, you know, verify all the stuff you're telling me. But I just... tell you a little bit more about it, what I can without your paperwork about this, because it looks like, you know, from what you're telling me, it sounds like you...
Well, I know for a fact I filed for 2014. I paid in about $4,000 for 2015, but I filed an extension for 2015.
2014 and 15, you cannot bankrupt. You'll have to make some kind of a payment on those years, okay? Even 2013 that you filed for, because it has not been 3 years... since the tax return was due, because it was due April 2014, and it hasn't been 3 years after that, so you cannot bankrupt 13, 14, or 15. But you mentioned a bunch of other years, older years, going back all the way to 2001, that you owe that $25,000, all or most of it, and I don't have the breakdown of how much of this was for the older years that are definitely bankruptable, like all the years, you know, from 2001 to 2012, they're all bankruptable. But I don't know how much of this is for the years after. So that's why you and I should do a private detail one-on-one consultation so that we can see how we can, you know, all this stuff is bankruptable or not. Get to a degree and what's the best way for you to go forward. But we need to act quickly. Because, you know, they sent a lady what, to your bank account. Who did the lady go to?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand that question.
You said they sent you a notice of levy
Yes, just received it last week.
Who did the IRS send it to anybody else besides yourself or just to you?
No, just to me.
They send you a levy to levy your own money?
Yeah, it's a notice of intent of levy, amount due immediately.
Okay. It's a notice of intent to levy. All right, Barry, that's a huge difference between a notice of levy and notice of intent to levy. A notice of levy is sent to a bank account, bank, somebody that pays you for your work, or another third party to take your money that's in their possession and send it to the IRS. A notice of intent to levy is just a warning, a serious warning that they want to take your money, and legally at this time is toothless and not dangerous. So that's good. That's good news. We have more time to act. Now, the letter that you say, read it to me a little bit more of the heading and what it follows, because there's different kinds of letters of the IRS that have that kind of a language. Please read to me a little bit more what it says.
Yeah, it just has up on the top right corner notice CP 504, and then it has my address and it says notice of intent of levy. Amount due immediately. In this instance, it's $271.96. And it says this is a notice of intent to seize, quote, levy your state tax return or other property. As we've notified you before, our records show you have unpaid taxes for the year ending 2012. And it just says, if you do not call us immediately or pay the amount due, we may seize, levy your property or rights to property, including the state tax refund, and apply it to that amount of $271.96 you owe.
Okay, all right. Well, this letter that you got, which is a computerized, dumb, computer-generated letter, and the letter number CP504, it's just a letter demanding payment from you. It's not a levy, because a levy is actually would be sent to, like I said, a bank account, stock brokerage account, any third party that has your money, that someone you work for perhaps, that they're going to pay your money. They have your money. The IRS will go to that third party and order them to pay the money that they owe you to the IRS. That's what a real notice of levy is. So you don't have that. Thank goodness. We have more time to act. You don't have an immediate situation that they're going to take your money and leave you no money for a mortgage or rent coming up, in a few days. Okay? But what we should do, Barry, is to do that private one-on-one consultation with your paperwork in my hand, a copy of them, of course. Okay? So I can see what you got, and it looks like from what you said, bankruptcy taxes would be the easiest way to go. But I'll tell you this, let me ask you this. Again, does your business have any significant assets? It probably does not. From the nature of your business, it doesn't sound like you have a lot, but I want to be sure before we go on. Because in a golf, if you're doing some golf business, you don't have a lot of money in the bank, obviously, stocks, bonds, investments, heavy, expensive equipment that could be easily sold, a lot of cars, cash paid for, real estate. You don't have any of those things, do you?
I do. I have bank accounts. I have investment accounts.
How much do you have in them?
I don't know, $29,000, $30,000.
Okay. Well, then why did this lawyer take your money and waste your time for offering compromise? I don't understand, folks. Here's what he said. This lawyer told Barry that even though he has about $30,000 in his bank accounts, okay, that he owed the IRS $25,000, the lawyer really honestly thought that we were going to convince the IRS that, hey, listen, give me a break. I got $30,000 sitting there. Don't take the whole $25,000. Let me pay you a lot less, $2,000, $10,000, whatever. Where the IRS is going to say, well, why? You got $30,000 sitting there, and you get monthly income from your work. Give us $25,000. You got $5,000 more left, and you got your monthly income from your business. That's it. Why would we give you offer and compromise? That is only for people who don't have any money, who are broke, who have no savings, who have no job, who have no way of paying the IRS, or the IRS so much, like if you owe the IRS $1 million, Barry, you don't have that much, they would have to give you a break and say, okay, you owe us $1 million, give us the $30,000 that you owe, maybe borrow another $20,000, $50,000, let's say, and then we'll call it that off, you know, and make a deal with you that way. But not when you got in savings more than what you owe the IRS. So that doesn't work. There may be other options that are available to you, my friend, but really the only way I can discuss them with you is having and come up with a realistic answer for you is that will work for you, and you're not going to not ruin you, is do a one-on-one private consultation with all your paperwork in my hand. And I'll stay for an hour. It's only $240 cash only. Send that to your Freedom Law School as soon as possible. Make sure you have your phone number there, and we'll sit down with your paperwork copy in my hand, a copy in front of you. We can go over all that, discuss it, clarify exactly what's going on, Barry, and figure out what's the best way for you to go forward to minimize the damage that this lawyer imposed on you.
All right, I certainly don't want to monopolize your time. I'm not sure how many callers are waiting. So I understand what you're saying.
No problem. I don't have a whole lot of callers right now. That's okay. You know, later on, if you have another question, you can ask. But, you know, you're welcome to listen and learn from other people's questions and answers, my friend, okay?
All right, thank you.
You're welcome, Barry. Okay, stay on. I think you may find other people's questions informative, Barry. Let's now go to another caller we have from area code 978. Caller from area code 978, if you have a question, please announce yourself now.
I'm all set, Payman.
You all set? Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. All right, folks. Then what I'm going to do, since no one else has any more questions on this call and just listening, I'm going to talk about the subject which I sent by Facebook and by email to people out there, which you guys are interested in knowing about and hearing about. And as I said in my message out there, according to the Forbes magazine, 61% of IRS employees caught willfully violating tax law aren't fired, but they may actually get, you know, rehired, okay, and promoted. So, and people think, oh, that's bad. Oh, government officials cover up for each other. This is typical. These guys got a buddy system and protect each other, folks. It's worse than that, okay? What happened, folks, back in 1999, one of my students, a former special agent with the IRS's own criminal investigation division, after he studied with Freedom Law School and others about the fraud of the income tax, he concluded that there is no law that requires the average American to file and pay the federal income tax. He wrote a book about the subject, gave it to superiors back in IRS office in the San Francisco Bay Area in California, asked the IRS to refute his findings that the income tax does not apply to the average American. The people like Barry are not required to file and pay income tax. And his manager asked him, Joe, are you serious about this? And Joe Barrister replied, I am dead serious. So The Joe Bannister report on income tax went to IRS's headquarters in Washington, D.C., to the Criminal Investigation Division headquarters. And a week later, the answer came back. Simple half-a-page note that the IRS will not take the time to show Joe Bannister the law that requires average American to file and pay the federal income tax. The law that Mr. Bannister had been imposing, he had put several small business owners like Barry in jail for income taxes. Yet the IRS will not show the law that he was supposedly imposing on these small business owners. Mr. Bannister took his oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States very seriously. So, because he said, I have a choice, either follow my oath to uphold and defend the U.S. Constitution or do whatever my superiors tell me to do, he decided to follow his oath to uphold the Constitution and left his job at the IRS. High paying job, folks. Okay, back then, in 1999, he was making close to $80,000 a year. Not now. 17 years ago, he was making $80,000 a year after 5 years with the IRS, and he had a fast rising career with the IRS. He won many awards and promotions. He was a good one. He was a very good one. Then this foundation called We the People Foundation, who heard about Joe Bannister, took him to Washington, D.C. from California, where he lived, to debate the IRS and the federal government on the legality of the income tax. One of them was shown on C-SPAN 2. That's right, live on C-SPAN 2. No one from the government ever showed up to any of these debates in Washington, D.C. The IRS would not send not even one lawyer, one agent, one employee that couldn't get away, said, hey, go and tell these crazy buffoons who think there's no law requiring the average American to file and pay income tax. Here's the law. Boom. Go show them the copy of the IRS code section and the laws that requires them to file and pay income tax. No. The IRS management did not send anybody. Well, why? If there is a law that requires people to file and pay income tax, why would they not show to Joe Bannister, one of their own agents, whose job is to enforce the federal income tax on people criminally by putting him in prison? Why would the government not come and show it to Joe Bannister now, who's left the IRS, who is there just to openly debate the government? I mean, after all, we are supposed to have in America a government by, of, and for we the people. The government workers are Americans just like you and I. They're there to do the job, do the job as best as they can, honestly, right? Follow the law honestly, right? That's all. So if there's a misunderstanding by Joe Bannister and Freedom Law School and others that there is a law actually requiring the average American like Barry to file and pay income tax because he did it, well, then just come and show us. We'll follow the law. Just show us the law. That simple. The government repeatedly failed to do that. It got to a point where, Bob Schultz, the head of the We the People Foundation, who was putting together these, debates between Joe Bannister and the government, that he was trying to get the White House to send somebody, not just the IRS, not just the lawyers of the government in the U.S. Department of Injustice, but the congressional heads of both houses and the White House to send somebody to debate Joe Bannister, show the law that requires the average American to file and pay income tax. The whole thing seems to be a giant fraud on American people who are been sleeping at the wheel, not knowing what their public servants have been doing to them while they've been busy making a living. So at one point, Mr. Bob Schultz of We the People Foundation was on the telephone and spoke with Jason Furman, F-U-R-M-A-N, who at the time was a senior director and senior economic advisor of the National Economic Council at the White House, at the Clinton White House. This was Bill Clinton was in office at the time. Okay? And the government had previously, U.S. Department of Injustice government lawyers had previously agreed to come and debate Joe Bannister and other experts of the freedom movement on the legality of income tax issue. But the White House reneged on their promises. They had made the promises on April 13th. They reneged. And what happened is then Jason Furman told this to Bob Schultz, folks. This is just tells it all. This sentence just says it all about the kind of government now we have in America. This is a quote from Jason Furman, folks. The legality of the income tax is not a high priority item at the White House. And we will not participate in any conference on this subject. Wow. Did you get, folks, the significance on those two statements? Think about this, folks. The legality of the income tax, this is the White House, folks. The United States government executive branch that enforces the law in America, in the federal government, says that the legality of the income tax is not a high priority item at the White House. So Bill Clinton and the White House, the politicians who we elect in office in a position of trust, who are supposed to defend our rights, who take an oath to uphold and defend the U.S. Constitution and the laws which are made under the U.S. Constitution, and all laws are made that way, they don't care. The White House doesn't care if the income tax is legal or not. They just want the money. To the politicians in White House, to the bureaucrats in the IRS, to the government lawyer liars in the U.S. Department of Injustice, it's all about the money. They just want the money. They don't care if there is a law that requires the average American to file and pay income tax. Folks, so many Americans are in debt to credit cards. They got car payments every month, mortgage payments. Okay? They have no net savings, folks. Most Americans do not have a net savings. They cannot afford better health care, better food, better education for the family. One major reason is because the government, by force of the income tax law, they claim, steals a good portion of the money that they don't have to support their own family, so that the politicians and the bureaucrats and the powerful moneyed special interest who pay for the advertising election campaigns of politicians, they are served. The money's taken, stolen from the people by force, and wasted on government waste and abuse. And the special interests who get benefits from the politicians, folks. The law, as far as they're concerned, the White House, the U.S. government, the law be damned. The law is ignored. Who cares? As long as the average American doesn't know. And folks, I bet you didn't know this until now. Hey, we get to get away with it. Who cares? The average American is happy like a sheeple. You know, just feed them, you know, with a bunch of sports and soap operas on TV and entertainment and frivolous stuff and beer and barbecue and a weekend and, you know, and makeup and looking like movie stars and fashion shows. And, hey, they don't care about the rights and freedom, how we are ripping them off like a bunch of dumb sheep slaves. That's their attitude, folks. And no wonder the next statement of Jason Furman follows that the White House will not participate in any conference on the subject of legality of income tax. Well, of course. I mean, after all, who doesn't care if they're taking your money legally or not? A person that doesn't care if your money they're taking your money illegally or not is a thief, is a criminal, is an outlaw. Very simple definitions, folks. An honest person would not take your money unless you are obligated to pay them the money legally by law. But a thief doesn't care. A lawbreaker, criminal, doesn't care. Takes your money under the guise of law. Under pretending there's a law to take your money, but there isn't. So is it any wonder why the White House, the politicians, do not want to participate in any conference on the subject? I mean, after all, having a conference would mean people would show up, listen to it. It'll be broadcast perhaps on radio, TV, maybe newspapers report on it, and the American people will hear about it, just like you are hearing about this stuff now on Freedom Law School's weekly conference call. And they're going to be shocked. They're going to say, what the heck has been going on? The American people, we've been asleep at the wheel, and the crooked politicians have turned our government, the U.S. government, into literally a criminal enterprise, a racket to steal Americans' money for the benefit of the bureaucrats, the politicians, and a powerful, rich special interests who put these politicians in office in the first place. Because that's how it's run, folks. Right? That's why Donald Trump, folks, is doing so well. Because all these other bozos, including, you know, this guy from Texas, Ted Cruz, they're all agents of the big banks and corporations. Ted Cruz's wife works for Goldman Sachs, the biggest investment bank firm in Wall Street. That's right. Okay, Hillary Clinton got paid over $600,000 for speaking for just 2 hours to Goldman Sachs. That's a nice way of paying her money, bribe her without calling it a bribe. Oh, we'll just give you $600,000 for your 2 hours of your time, Mrs. Clinton. Huh? That's what Bernie Sanders is doing relatively so well with the Democratic side, because people are realizing on both sides, Democrats and Republicans, that these mainstream politicians in America for decades, have been basically a bunch of criminal thieves. Certainly Bill Clinton and his wife Hillary, who's running for president now, are those criminals. Hillary was in the White House running things along with her husband. They were a joint team. She was a politician back then, as much if not more than her husband. They say she was a throne behind the throne, slapping her husband in white and house in front of other people and calling her husband in front of other people four-letter words. That's right. That gives you the idea. As Republicans do, folks, okay? George Bush and his father both been a bunch of criminals too on this racket. This is going on for a while, folks. So, folks, this USA Today ad, folks, I spoke yesterday with Bob Schultz, the chairman of the We the People Foundation for Constitutional Education, and he's going to provide me. We have these reprint of these USA Today ads at Freedom Law School. You can get it mailed to you at no charge. Just call us at 813-444-4800, or when you go online, get signed up for our free education on our email list. We'll make a note, request the reprint of this We the People ads that were put in USA Today with volunteers' money, folks, for donation of this American regular citizens. We'll send them to you at no charge. But we will put them also on Freedom Law School's website at livefreedom.org. You can see it for yourself. It's absolutely amazing and shocking. Folks, if there is no law requiring you to file and pay income tax, why should you pay a dime? A dime to this admitted thief criminal outlaws who have literally hijacked the United States government. You are paying for your own self-destruction. Barry unknowingly paid for his own self-destruction. He didn't know this stuff. He's just a guy trying to make a living, earn a living, doing his golf business. He didn't know that he didn't have to fill out that form. And to deceive these and pressure these tax attorneys and certified public accountants and accountants community in general to get everybody to file those 1040 forms. You got to file. Everybody knows it. You have to file 1040 forms. It's mandatory, but they never come short of the law if it is mandatory. And they can't. And they don't care. They just want the money, folks. Well, tell you what, folks. Next week, I'm going to give you a bombshell. A bombshell about what we're doing about this right now. And we're going to kick the IRS's butt in court about all this. It's going to happen, folks, in the month of June. It's coming up. But I don't want to take too long on this conference call. Tell your friends, coworkers, anyone you know, next week, to be on Freedom Law School's weekly conference call. The bombshell of the IRS will be on trial in California about all of this that I told you. All of this will be before a jury of 12 American citizens. Okay? That's right. You're going to be getting that bombshell announced next week. So stay in touch with Freedom Law School, folks. I'm going to go now to another one of our callers that joined us since then from area code 240. See if he has a question before I end our call for the evening. Does the caller from area code 240 have a question? If so, please ask me at this time. You give me your first name and then your question. Okay. The caller from area code 240 does not have a question. Thank you for being on the call, my friend. So, folks, livefreenow.org is our website. Freedom Law School wants to work with you, folks. If you want to live free as an individual, all of you, not just Barry, but every one of you listening to this call live or on rebroadcast, if you want to live free, if you want to work with other like-minded Americans who are like you, have been enlightened to the truth. Now you know the truth. And they say, seek the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, you want to do something about it? You can. Freedom Law School is here in your corner to help you live free and work with other Americans who are enlightened to the truth to set America free. So, again, become a fan of Freedom Law School on Facebook. Get on our email list at livefreedom.org and tell other people about us. Tell your friends. Family members, call in next Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time Zone, the bombshell of how IRS is going to be put on trial. The White House, the criminality of the U.S. government. What I just read you, all of this, the government will be put on trial. So I'm going to bid you good night, folks, and I'll be back with you again next Thursday night, 7 o'clock Eastern Time Zone. Good night, everybody.